Hello and welcome to our podcast, Paddy and Rob Palmer for Breakfast at Triple M. It is Thursday, 22nd of October.
Yeah, we're just backstroking our way through it on our way to the weekend.
Oh, look, I'd rather do Butterfly.
But how about this? You would too, you. Butterfly. Eskimo Joe. We had Kat from Eskimo Joe with us this morning for a great chat.
What a champion bloke he is. Now, you have this obsession against possums. Possums are brilliant, Robert.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them.
I tell you, would the council be able to get rid of all possums, though?
I'll tell you who won't tell us about possums, but will tell us about the council's dire situation at the moment, and that's Councillor Greg Best.
Oh, look, there is drama. Holy hell, the Central Coast Council just keeps on giving. The New South Wales government now is... In the sense of news stories, New South Wales Gov is pushing to suspend the Central Coast Council after it was forced to arrange that emergency payment of $6.2 million. This was yesterday to ensure thousands of council staff and suppliers got paid this week. They had a special council crisis meeting yesterday. The man who was there, who alerted us, this man, and you know, people had a go at him, and I'm glad that he did alert everyone to the financial situation of the council, Councillor Greg Best.
Thank you, Greg Best. Yeah, hello.
Good morning.
G'day, Robbie. Hey, guys. Hey, listeners.
Mate, it sounds like you've been through the ringer.
Hell and back.
Yeah. One question I got just initially. Look, as a small business myself, and like there's small businesses all over the coast, 25,000 odd of them, people check their funds every day. And they check their accounts and they know where they are and they know how much they owe, roughly, if not, you know, exactly. How can a business have this ridiculous debt that the council has without knowing about it for that long?
Just sheer and utter incompetence, guys. I mean, like, for once, I'm nearly speechless. I mean, this is, as I say, I've invested so much. I've been so privileged to represent my community. And here we are on the precipice of the minister striking the pen across the page and dismissing the whole council. But guys, listeners, this was avoidable. These people were warned in black and white, in the chamber, on the tapes. They were told, they were questioned, they were asked, and they ignored. They played politics. They bullied and they shut down the discussion on finances. I mean, this is like telling Captain Smith on the Titanic, there is an iceberg right ahead of us and we've got time to turn. And these guys crashed straight into it.
Now, look, without brushing over what has happened and who's to blame for this now, what happens next week with all the people who were just able to be paid this week thanks to the state government stepping in?
Yeah, look, Shelley Hancock stepped in. I said 12 months ago that the government's going to step in if you keep this up, tearing up checks, you know, tearing up contracts, giving yourselves pay rises during COVID. I mean, these guys have lost $194 million over 3 years, and now we've got $200 million missing out of restricted funds. This is going to head toward $400 million worth of loss. And, you know, I'm not hearing any contrition from any of the leading arm of this council. No one said sorry. No one's got contrition. It's all, it's COVID, it's the bushfire, it's the amalgamation. I mean, Pittwater Council's three councils down there, Pittwater, Warringah, Manly, three of them, Northern Beaches Council. They're not blaming amalgamation. They're actually saving money and they've got air in their black.
Now, you did mention local Shelley Hancock. She's local government minister. In a strongly worded statement, she said yesterday she had to intervene due to the council's abject failure to address the consequences of its own financial mismanagement. Okay, so as Rob asked you, Bestie, it's you've got a week. Within a week, they'll make a decision and we could lose everyone. The mayor could be suspended. You could be suspended.
Sure.
And administrators appointed.
Look, Rob, Paddy, the buck stops with the councillor. As much as, you know, I'm dismayed after a whistleblowing, I've written to the minister personally. I've written to the department 6 weeks ago saying, guys, you've got to do something. This council's out of control. I've never done that in my whole time in council. I did that 6 weeks ago. So concerned I was for the numbers that nobody could see my foot. You know, and here we are going to go extinct. The public's going to lose its democracy, and this will go for 3 to 5 years in administration. You know, and the rates will have to go up. We've got to pay those accounts back. I mean, you can't pull money out of thin air. So the legacy, the seismic legacy that this council's going to leave behind is going to hurt us for the next decade. You know, these people have just got to be held to account. You can't blame the staff. You can't blame COVID. It's these people that have run this council, the junta of this council. They call it the eight pack.
What's the eight pack?
The eight pack are the Greens and the left ALP that run our council. It's that black and white. If you look at the voting, every single vote that is controlled by the Greens and the ALP in this council. I'm not making it up, guys. I'm independent. Labor, Liberal, I don't care. Just do the right thing.
All right, mate.
Yeah, go on, guys.
I was going to say, mate, we are running out of time. We've got a few other things we've got to get done today.
We are running out of time.
Yeah, we are running, but yeah, both on air and with the council. So, mate, we will find out. You've got a week, and then we'll know whether you retain your job. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mate, I think it's over. But look, guys, thanks for all your support over the years and letting the message out there. It's been wonderful, but I think it's over.
All right.
It should be over too.
Okay, bestie. Well, we will know, and we'll speak to you next week sometime. Yeah, we'll keep you in
eyes.
The...
Take care, and apologies to everyone, mate. This is a shocker. See you, mate.
From the makers of Schitt's Creek, Days of Our Lives, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Love Island, UK version only, comes a new Australian sitcom, Hard Time Raw.
Because you and me, everybody's got a hard time raw.
Hello.
Paddy, hello, it's Rob. Yeah, I can't make it in today.
What's wrong this time?
The doctor says it's real serious. I can't get out of bed. I got a bone in my leg. You're going to have to cover for me.
Not again.
G'day, Paddy. Have you seen Rob anywhere?
I just spoke to him. Says he can't come in because he has a bone in his leg.
Wasn't that his excuse last week?
I think it's gotten worse now. He's got one in both now. The doctors have never seen anything like it.
Well, it's a shame he can't come in today. We're having beers and a barbecue out the back to thank you all for the hard work you've done. Come on, follow me through the door. Rob! What are you doing here? And where did all the beers go?
You know, boss, turns out I was prescribed beers and a sausage by the doctor. Feeling much better now. I'd reckon a bit of ice cream and I'd be able to get back to work.
Mama!
Because you everybody's got a part-time
Rob, Eskimo Joe, new song out. It is this one. Give it a bit of a burl.
Say something.
Yep, it's Say Something from Eskimo Joe.
Oh, don't we love playing this at Triple M?
And tonight, Eskimo Joe are doing Triple M's Garage Session.
Celebrating Oztober, Australian rock all month long.
Introducing their brand new single.
Say something.
From Eskimo Joe, it's Cav Templey.
G'day, Cav.
G'day, chaps. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. How's it going in WA? No one's allowed to fly there. Still the border's shut, mate.
Yes, I mean, it's a pretty idyllic place to be at the moment because it's kind of, over here, it's like nothing happened. And it feels like, for the first time ever, this is actually the best place in the world to be.
Mate, that is a fair shout. Whereabouts in WA are you right now? You're in Frio?
I'm in Frio, yeah. I mean, Frio's always been a nice place to live, always a great place to create music and stuff, but there's always been this deep sense of FOMO, like the rest of the world is doing much funner things than you are all the time. And I feel like for the first time, this is actually the funnest place to be.
Cav, do you think WA should secede from the rest of Australia? Should it be separated?
Well, I wasn't going to mention it, but we are building a wall at the moment.
Good on you, Trumpy.
Mate, of your six studio albums, you had three of them that debuted at number one. Your Black Fingernails Red Wine went for 62 weeks in the top 50. How does that feel when you get that sort of success?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of forget about when you're in the middle of it. You're just working on, you know, doing the best you can, playing shows, enjoying, you know, your music and all the rest of it. And it's kind of at these moments when you look back and you're like, oh, holy crap, that was actually really amazing. We did that, you know. They did Spicks and Specks like a little while ago, and they had me on as a guest, and it was like a, you know, back together Spicks and Specks episode on the ABC. And they had this lineup of all these bands of, you know, which artists had spent the longest in the ARIA charts, how many weeks. And there was, you know, someone from The Wiggles, there was Ella Hooper from Killing Heidi. You know, there was all these amazing artists. And I was like, surely it's not us. Surely it's The Wiggles. and lo and behold, yeah, it was us. It was 62 weeks in the ARIA charts.
You know, Trump The Wiggles. That's awesome.
If there's one TV show I miss, it's Spicks and Specks with Adam Hills. That was brilliant.
Yeah, it was a great show. And I mean, you know, all good things come to an end, but, you know, hopefully those guys keep getting on there and doing some specials.
Now, we had a choice of speaking to Joel, Stuart, or yourself. We chose you.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
if you, guys. If you had to fly from WA to Los Angeles, who wouldn't you, out of Stuart and Joel, be wanting to sitting next to on the plane in economy? Which one? Be honest.
It really depends. It really depends what kind of flight you're into.
Yeah.
If you want to have an in-depth chat, yep, with a couple of gin and tonics in between, then Joel's probably your guy to sit next to.
Right, okay. Tick for Joel.
If you just want to, like, sit down and watch a movie and not be disturbed, then Stu's probably your guy.
Oh, right. Oh,
I wish I worked with Stu, let me tell you. Cam. And, mate, your new song, Say Something, going really well, buddy.
It's been amazing. The response has been incredible.
Because I know you have your songwriting workshop. This is brilliant too for teens and emerging musicians. This is great, mate.
Yeah, we do a lot of stuff with education. I mean, it's more to the fact that when I was a teenager growing up, I would have killed to have someone like me come in and go, hey, guys, you can be a professional musician, and here's a really simple skill set of how you go about writing and finishing a song. So we've been doing that for, you know, about 5 years now, and it's amazing and really fulfilling to do. We actually just did the first virtual Cab Songwriters online course, and everyone was just, you know, would tune in and, you know, and write a song together. And it was so cool to see all these teens, a bunch of them in lockdown, just actually jamming, you know, over the vast distances of Australia. It was really special.
It's bloody good, mate.
They'd be busting out of their clogs doing something like that with Eskimo Joe. How fantastic.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people are writing their songs on Zoom at the moment because it's the only way we can actually, you know, get in a room with each other and write. And it's not ideal. It's not that same vibe of sitting in a room and jamming. But, you know, it's as good as we got at the moment, and that's okay.
Because it's really changed, Kev. Like, back, say, years ago, you had all different TV shows to appear on, but that's not there anymore.
No, but we did have Triple M who were kind enough to ask us to come and play a garage session.
Yes.
And that felt pretty special, let me tell you.
Absolutely, because tonight all around Australia.
They have been a hit, and tonight's going to be no exception. You guys in Kingswood tonight at the garage session for Triple M and Oztober. We're really looking forward to it, Cav.
It's going to be amazing, and, you know, just such a honour to be asked to actually on a live music and play a proper show, because this is the first time that we would have played Say Something as a live band together.
Hey, Cav, I know you're really busy, mate. Thanks for taking time out this morning. Great to catch up again, buddy.
Thank you so much for having us.
Good one, Cav.
When the big issues of the Central Coast need to be discussed, people turn to Paddy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 Triple M. This is the forum.
Now, this is a big issue, okay. Robert, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is really a big issue, buddy.
Yeah, I'm just looking for it now.
Yeah, because a pair of marsupials with the case of the munchies has caused a stir at a Woolworths store. I think it was in Sydney's Northern Beaches.
Imagine, they'd have thought they'd hit the jackpot, these
two
possums.
Oh, it was like, you know,
into the Woolworths fresh produce area.
You know how on the poke machines they have the mangoes and the apples and all that coming up for the possums? That's what it would have been.
<That's right>. I sometimes imagine, you know, like, it seems as though whenever you've got a veggie patch and your tomatoes are just ready to pick.
Yeah, and some vulture comes
and
along.
And the night before, one of those little guys, those possums, they'll get in there and they'll just rip it all off.
Are possums pests?
They should be.
Yeah, right.
Are they?
I don't know.
Protected. You're not allowed to. You know what? You're allowed to bait a rat in your roof.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to bait a possum.
So a possum.
Plenty of people have possums in their houses.
You think a possum is just an oversized rat?
Yep.
Okay. We had a couple in our house, and I woke up one night and it was on the screen. And because I don't know how it got there, but I looked over, I don't know how it got down, but
we got the fence between our house and the neighbours. It's a lap and cap, you know. So you've got no gaps in the palings, and there's that cap piece that runs along it. And the possums, it's like a freeway.
Right.
They go from the back to the front, and they stop and they grab vegetables and they keep going through. It's dead set a conveyor belt for possums.
Yeah. So this picture of the possum at the Woolies store at Northern Beaches, smorgasbord it had, fruit and veggies. Yeah, there they are. Are they a pest though? Are possums a pest? It's on the possum hotline this morning.
Well, you don't know how to approach them either. Imagine being a woolly staff member in that joint.
Did you? Imagine someone who had a little bit of problems with their eyesight.
goes to grab.
Think it was a kiwi fruit.
That's a bloody big kiwi fruit.
Because the kiwi fruit's a furry.
Hey, Stacey, grab me a pineapple.
I grabbed the possum.
Oh, this one's sharp. Oh man. They do bite. I was away with Gwen once. Yeah. We were staying at an overnight place.
Yeah.
And she had... These possums were on the back balcony. I kept saying to her, get rid of the possums.
Yeah.
I don't want them anywhere near us. Like they're filthy things and they just go for your food and the more you give them, the more they'll come back. So she's giving them a couple of little berries or whatever.
Oh, wrong thing
from
to
what
do.
We had, a bit of cheese or whatever. What are you doing? You're mad. Yeah. Anyway, she'd painted her toenails bright orange and she's talking to this possum who had approached her and I was like, get away from it. It's a pest. It's going to get you. And she goes, don't be stupid. As the possum just went,
latched on.
Took her big toe. It did. You thought it was a big orange berry. So she didn't. I don't know if she likes possums anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from Hollywood in the US of A, actually from Terrigal, it's time for Shane A. Bassett's movie review.
This is Sparta!
Shane A., good morning, mate.
Hello, Shane.
Good morning, Paddy and Rob. And I don't think Grinspoon has been mentioned yet in Oztober. They're one of my favourites.
Oh,
Hang on a second.
Hold the phone.
I just thought I'd throw that in.
Thank you very much.
It really is.
Bands that you just come out of left field. What about Spider-Bait?
Yeah, Spider-Bait aren't too bad, but I think Grinspoon and Powderfinger would be my two top tips. Grinspoon have done a few songs in various movies as well, so that makes them a bit better in my eyes.
What about Jet?
Yeah, Jet are okay. I think they're a little bit too familiar sound. Some of their songs sound the same, but I like bands that mix it up a bit.
Oh, with the latest in music, here's Shane A. Bassett. Yes. Normally we do movies.
Well, I can talk about movie soundtracks.
All right, mate, let's go to the first movie. It's called The Honest Thief.
Whoa, I'm turning myself in.
FBI, open up.
His real name is Thomas Dolan, former Marine, demolitions expert.
To come clean. I'm not a bank robber anymore. With the murder one charged for killing one of their own, the feds will come after me and keep coming.
If those two crooked cops are willing to kill another agent, what are they capable of doing to you and me?
Jeez, mate. Liam Neeson. Sounds like Taken 1, 2, 3 and 4. It's in cinemas now, though.
Yeah, well, that's what the movie producers want you to think. Just about every movie now he does, they want you to think it's another Taken. And look, you did think it was, but it's a little bit more slower than that. He plays a bank robber that actually wants to turn himself in. He's got this $9 million stashed. He's met someone and just wants to get out of the criminal business. But the FBI don't believe him at first. But then when two detectives come over and suss it out, they find the money, want to keep it, and things escalate from there because he really just wants to turn himself in, like I said, but they want to set him up instead.
Mate, what would you give it out of stars out of five?
It's Liam Neeson and Jai Courtney's in it, an Australian actor. Kate Walsh is also really good in it. I'm going to give it a 2.5.
Okay, you have big raps on Jai, don't you?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's good
plays
lad.
He plays a real nasty guy in this. He's very good at playing the villain, and he's top notch as the bad guy in this.
I work with his brother. Okay, 2.5 for the Honest Thief. All right, let's go to an Aussie movie now. It's called
Rams.
Why start now?
This is Ram. He's sick.
Farmers have been shocked by the discovery of a highly infectious disease.
They're mine! Don't take them, mate!
A control plan has been put in place in the hope of containing the outbreak.
I reckon we spent half our lives in here.
It means everything to them.
That's it, mate. They're taking the whole bloody valley.
Why don't they take us while they're at it? Finish the job.
You gotta follow the rules.
No kidding.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
I love Sam Neill.
Oh, yeah, Rob. Sam Neill's one of the greats, isn't he? And he's teamed up here, of course, with Michael Caton, another great actor. They're both brothers who really don't like each other. They've had a decades-long feud. They live nearby in each other's pockets, basically next to each other on farms, and they both breed these award-winning sheep. But unfortunately, the sheep start passing away from a virus, and they have to work together to deal with it, and you know, it brings them together. And there's a few other little twists in the story as well, but beautiful movie. Australian film made over in Western Australia, and as you say, Sam Neill and Michael Caton together, must see.
From the director of The Last Cab to Darwin, I enjoyed that movie.
Jeremy Sims, yeah, he's worked with, of course, Michael Caton before in The Last Cab to Darwin, which was a big, big box office hit. So I hope this one has some similar themes. Very, it's okay for all audiences too. It's PG, and I think you could take kids and families to watch this as well.
Okay,
so
mate, to go and see Rams at the Flicks, what would you be giving it out of 5?
Well, it's an Aussie film.
Yep.
Got to support local movies.
Damn straight.
It's worth seeing. It really is. So I'm going to give it 4 out of 5.
Oh, I should have gone 5. Should have gone 5.
Look, I'm a hard marker sometimes. But, yeah, no, it's very, very good. And, you know, the restrictions have been lifted, as you know, so that includes cinemas, and it's worth going to check it out.
Have you ever given a 5 out of 5?
I have, yes. On the odd occasion.
Okay.
A movie called Seven with Brad Pitt.
Morgan. Oh, I remember that.
There's been a weekend viewing, not with the kids, though.
Flawless movie. And one of my all-time favourites, The Breakfast Club. That also got a 5.
All right, mate. Thank you, Shane. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Paddy, I've got another splendid idea.
Oh, what is it this time?
Well, anyone listening can just subscribe to the Paddy and Rob podcast and stay up to date.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?